Ezekiel chapter 48, beginning in verse 30. There will be exits at the city, beginning on the north side, which is 4,500 cubits long. The gates of the city will be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates on the north side will be the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, and the gate of Levi. On the east side, which is 4,500 cubits long, there will be three gates: the gate of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, and the gate of Dan. On the south side, which measures 4,500 cubits, there will be three gates: the gate of Simeon, the gate of Issachar, and the gate of Zebulun. And on the west side, which is 4,500 cubits long, there will be three gates: the gate of Gad, the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. The distance all around will be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on will be "The Lord is There." Revelation chapter 21, the fulfillment of this prophecy. Beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that reveals to us who you are and the greatness of your character, but your word which also gives us hope and strength and encouragement. And Father, as we open your word again this morning today, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts and you would encourage us and give us a little glimpse of the goodness and of what you have in store for us. And of the promise, Lord, that you are here with us now. And the hope that someday we will be with you forever. And thank you for the truth and your word and the comfort that it gives through Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whom we pray. Amen. This past year during COVID, when he had an opportunity to get out, took our adopted grandson, Eli Prickett, to Indian Echo Cavern for the day. He loves to explore and do educational things. It was part of his field trip. And I took him down into the cave, and Eli and I went on the tour of the cave. And we got into the part of the room where they wanted to show what it was like with all the lights off. So they took us into this one room and they shut off all the lights and they said, "It's going to get dark." And I said, Eli, I'm right here with you. It's going to get dark. I said, "Hold my hand." And it went off, and the lights went off, and it got pitch black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And Eli says, "It's dark." I said, "I'm right here, Eli." I said, "I'm right here." And I held his hand and said, "I'm here." And I assured him of my presence. When we're going through the times of darkness of life, we can't see God. But yet he reminds us, I am here. I am right there by your side. I'm with you in the darkness. I'm with you in those times that you can't see me, when I'm hidden from you, from view, but I am still there. And we give thanks for the presence of God with us, always, in all times. Today, we come to the last name of God in the Old Testament, recorded for us in the last verse of Ezekiel. And that name is the name Jehovah Shema, meaning the Lord is Shema, or present, or there. The Lord is there or present with us. And that's what that name means. But when we hear that name, the Lord is present or the Lord is there, what comes to your mind? Initially, what comes to my mind, and as I prepared and went into this message this week, I thought this name meant something completely different. The Lord is there reminds us that God is present with us always. It's a testament to his omnipresence that no matter where we are, he is there. He's with us in those dark times. He's with us no matter where we are. And in fact, he's made that promise that I will never leave you or I will never forsake you. So the name Jehovah Shema reminds us that the Lord is there always, even when we can't see him. He's holding our hand in the darkness of the cave, reminding me, yes, I am by your side. But as I studied this name, I realized, come to realize that this name, Jehovah Shema, the last name means far more than that. It has a far deeper meaning than just a reminder of God's presence with us always through his Holy Spirit. It has a deeper reference. In the context of Ezekiel, Ezekiel the prophet was a prophet who was taken from exile. He was a Jewish boy who was taken from his homeland when the Babylonians had captured Judah. And he was taken from Jerusalem to live in Babylon. He was living in exile. And there in exile, the Lord revealed himself to Ezekiel and gave him a vision of the Lord in all his glory. And part of that vision was that the Lord showed him how his glory, how his presence had left the temple in Jerusalem and had gone up and back into heaven, that his glory departed from Israel because of their sin. And the Lord, by this time of Ezekiel, the last part of the book, the Lord showed him a vision that someday God's glory is going to come back down from above, and it's going to reside again in person, and it's going to reside on earth once again. And the Lord gave Ezekiel a vision of the coming of the new Jerusalem, the new city of God that is going to come down from heaven, and God's presence is going to once again reside with us presently. And someday we will be with him. Then the book Ezekiel ends by saying the name of that place, the name of that city, is called Jehovah Shema, or the Lord is there. And by God giving his personal name to the new Jerusalem, he is reminding us that someday we have the hope that just as the Lord is with us spiritually, someday you and I will be with him physically. Someday the veil will be removed and we are going to be with Jesus. The Lord is in heaven. The Lord is there and we are going to be with him. That's the hope, that we are going to be with the Lord forever. That's what that name, the Lord is there, means. So what a beautiful way to end the description of God's names, with that reminder of that hope that we have, that where the Lord is, we are going to be. That the mansion that he's preparing is real, and we are going to move in there someday. That there will be no more crying. There will be no more darkness. So because the Lord is there in that new Jerusalem, we are reminded of four realities that we are reminded of, and we're taking these from Revelation chapter 21, as John saw the Lord revealed to John the completion, the fulfillment of that vision that he gave to Ezekiel all those years before. Because the Lord is there in that new Jerusalem, sin will be eliminated. All sin will be gone. We won't struggle with it anymore. We won't have to deal with that sin nature that we were born with, because the curse will be eliminated. In verse 3 of chapter 22, John says, the Lord revealing to him as he saw this vision, says that no longer will there be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. When God created us, Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, they dwelt in his presence, and the Lord was there with them, as you know. The Lord was with them. They were with him. They saw him face to face. But then when they fell into sin, God put a curse on the earth and on them. And we inherited that curse, and that curse separated us from God, keeping us from being able to see him. But when that curse is removed someday, we will see him face to face. And sin will be dealt with and eliminated in our life, because Galatians tells us, chapter 3, verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree. That Jesus, when he took our place, your sin and mine, he took that curse upon himself, that our sin could be forgiven. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, the scripture says, for I consider that these sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation itself was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him that subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait, eagerly wait our adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is no hope, but he who hopes sees in what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. That the curse that caused our sin, our body to fall into sin, will be eliminated and it will be gone. We also know that nothing impure will enter the city. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 27, the Lord revealed to John that nothing impure will ever enter that city, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have that hope that all the sin that we see, all the evil in this world, even within our own struggles, will someday in that new Jerusalem, there will be no more sin. There will be none of that. We won't have that struggle anymore. That's a hope that we have to bear. Sin will be eliminated because God is there. And where the Lord is, there can be no sin in his presence, because we've already learned that he is holy and that he is just. But also, because the Lord is there in that new Jerusalem, suffering will be over. Isn't that something to rejoice about? All the heartaches of this earth, all the sickness, all the sorrow that we carry will all be past and gone. No longer will we deal with sickness. No longer will our body age. No longer will we have to watch what we eat and deal with cholesterol. We can eat whatever we want. You know, not have to worry about a heart attack anymore. All that will be gone and past us. And all the sorrow and suffering. Notice verse 4 says, there will be no more death. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There will be no more sickness and no more pain. None of that will we have to look for, we have to carry anymore. We won't have to worry, because our great physician will heal us permanently. And all that suffering that we have dealt with and carried in this life that we've known will be past. Those who are in the presence of the Lord are already experiencing that. But someday we will join them. No more cancer. No more of any of that. All that will be a distant memory. Isn't that something to rejoice in, because the Lord is there? That's our hope. And also, because the Lord is there, our suffering will be over. There will be no more night. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5 says, there will be no more night. There will be no need of the lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord will give it light, and they will reign forever and ever. No more night, meaning there will be no more evil, no more darkness. There will be nothing to fear. It's at nighttime, most of the time, it's at nighttime when evil runs rampant, when people do their crimes under the cover of night, thinking they won't be seen or discovered. But there will be no more night in heaven. There will be no more evil. No more darkness, nothing to fear. We can leave our doors and our mansions open and go freely without any rejoicing, any heartache at all. All suffering gone forever. Because the Lord is there and we're going to be with him. Jehovah Shammah, he named that city coming down from above. Remind us that what that hope of heaven is all about. That because he is there, no more sin. Because he is there, no more suffering. Because he is there, sorrow will be passed as well. Because he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Verse 4 says, all the tears will be wiped away and there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. No longer will we lay a loved one in the grave. No longer will there be mourning because death will be no more. Christ, who was the first fruits of those who live, rose and brought everlasting life to all who believe. And in heaven, there is that life eternal. No more sorrow. Death will be completely wiped away and defeated. The Bible tells us that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And Jesus defeated that by his own resurrection. And all brokenness will be restored. There is an awful lot of brokenness on this earth. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, our world became broken. And since that time, we have been trying to fix that brokenness ourselves. With a lot of different remedies of ways, we've been trying to repair the brokenness of sin in our hearts. And we keep making a mess of it because we cannot heal that brokenness ourselves. Only the Lord can do that. And there's a broken homes and broken hearts and broken relationships, and so much is broken in this world. But someday when we get there where the Lord is, all that brokenness will be restored and will be gone and be mended, and our hearts will be mended and we'll have rejoicing in his presence. That's something to look forward to. That's something to rejoice in. And you say, yeah, Dan, that's great, but what about now? Well, the Lord is there. He's there in heaven physically, but he's with us through his Spirit. And he can heal the brokenhearted now. He can mend us. His presence is with us through his Spirit. We don't see him literally, but we know he's with us. But someday we will see him face to face. But his presence is with us, his comfort, even as we lay a loved one in the grave now, we know that his presence is with us, sustaining us, knowing that together we will be with him. Because the Lord is there, our sin will be eliminated, suffering will be over, our sorrow will be past, and because the Lord is there, separation will be gone. We will no longer be separated from him. We will no longer be separated from one another. We will be in the presence of the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, when he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, or Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with where? Men. And he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. In that day, when we move into the new Jerusalem, we take up our residence there. We are going to be in the presence of the Lord Almighty, the Creator, the one we've been learning about through his names. We are going to be in his presence, literally with him, and we will see him face to face. Scripture says, now we see through a veil. Now we see partly, but then we will see fully. And what we walk with and what we see by faith will come to fruition, and we will see by sight. And we will be with the Lord forever. We will see his full glory. And he will dwell with us. We will enjoy his presence forever, and there will no longer be separation. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, you remember, in that perfect condition before sin came into the world, God walked with them every day. They saw him face to face. They dwelt in his presence. That's what God wants for all of us. But sin came and broke that, and the separation existed. And until that day, when the new Jerusalem comes, but we will be restored. But God sent his tabernacle and set up his tabernacle, and he dwelled with them through the supply and glory of his Holy Spirit, of his presence, to remind them that even now, God is still dwelling with us. Then he sent Jesus to tabernacle with us to show us that God is with us, and sent the Holy Spirit to remind us that even now he's with us in his Spirit. But someday, the separation will be gone, and we will be with him for all eternity in the presence of the Lord. No more night, no more crying, no more pain. We will be with the Lord forever, but we will also be with our loved ones already in glory. And if the separation will be gone, and those who are already in the presence of Jesus now, we will be united with them, no longer separated from them, but back together, united forever in the presence of the Lord around this throne. Isn't that something to rejoice in and hope for? That they're already there, and someday we will join them. And that separation will no longer exist. It will be gone, because we will all be residents in that new Jerusalem with God on the throne, and we will see his presence. The glory of God gives it light, and the glory of God is its lamp. Verse 4 of chapter 22 says that we will see his face, and his name be written on our forehead. And we have that hope of being in the presence of the Lord. When our labor and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that heavenly shore, just to be glimpse of the Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. So the Lord is there. He's with us now. But ultimately, someday, we will be residing with him where he is. We will be. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will take you to be with me, that where I am Yahweh. Where I am, you will be as well. The hope of eternal life. That the separation is gone, and someday, because of Jesus and our faith in him, he will swing those gates open, and we will walk in. And he will say, welcome home. Enjoy my presence forever. No more sin. No more suffering. No more sorrow. And no more separation. Praise God for Jesus and the hope that we have, because the Lord is there and we will be with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that hope that you are and always are, and always will be. You are the great I am, who was, who is, and is to come. And in that new Jerusalem, that day when the new Jerusalem comes down, you are in the midst of it, and your dwelling, your tabernacle, your residence will be here on earth with us. And your presence will be in the midst of it, and we will dwell there with you, where there will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more separation, none of that that we have to deal with now. And know that someday we will see you in all of your glory. What that blessed hope is. And that blessed hope gives us strength, Lord, when we go through hard times now, when we are in the cave, when we're in the darkness and the lights go out around us and we want to yell out in fear. Even now, you remind us, I'm here with you. And you're here with us through your Spirit. But someday, we will see you as you fully are. And we will be with you in all your glory. Until that time, Lord, we faithfully follow you, knowing that you have not left us alone. You have not left us as orphans. You have not left us on this earth by ourselves. But you are with us spiritually through your presence of your Spirit within. And you give us the strength and you give us the comfort that we need as a hope that the Holy Spirit is that down payment of the full completion and revelation that will be revealed when you return and take us to be with you. So thank you for that hope that we have, for revealing yourself and all that you are and all your glory through your names, for all the wonderful things we have learned and have continued to learn from you and about you as you revealed yourself through your names to us so that we could know your character and know who you are in a better way. So Lord, I pray that each of us grow deeper in our love of you, for knowing you better as you revealed yourself to us through your names, describing your greatness, your glory, and the hope through you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.